You can take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 61, and then we're going to be going to Luke chapter 4 that we read this morning. Isaiah chapter 61, we'll look at verses, I'll read verses 1 through 3, and then we'll head over to Luke chapter 4. Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." And then if you could take your Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to read some of what we already read this morning. In verse number 17, it says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Imagine if you were that day in that synagogue at Nazareth when the Lord Jesus Christ read from the scriptures and delivered a message to the people that were there. Imagine today if you could receive, hear a message from the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 22, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." Later on in verse 32, it says, "And they were astonished." This is when he went to Capernaum at his doctrine, "for his word was with power." Imagine if you could hear a message, if you could hear the scripture read by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Nazareth, we find that the people heard the Lord Jesus Christ read. They heard a message from the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they left unchanged. And yet they left in the same spiritual hardened condition that they came in. I wonder this morning, will you leave this building the same way in which you entered it? Or will there be something that changes in your life? What does it take for real spiritual change to take place in our lives? First of all, I'd like to look at the elements or the conditions of spiritual change. Notice what, as Christ read from the scripture, what the scripture said. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." In Isaiah chapter 61, it says to preach the gospel to the meek. All right, and they convey the poorness, the neediness of the individual who is receiving the message. Meekness, this poor, needy, humble, lowly individual. "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek." I wonder, did you come here this morning with a heart that was poor. With a heart like the song that was just saying, I need thee every hour. Did you come with that sense of need? With that sense of being poor? That, Lord, I have nothing to offer. I need something from you. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, it speaks of how God resists. He resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Meek. Are you poor this morning? Are you needy? Are you humble? Are you lowly? Do you recognize the real spiritual condition of your life? As you walked through the doors of the church this morning, as you drove to church, did you sense the inward spiritual need of your heart? Or did you walk in like many people today? Maybe with the attitude of, I'm good. You know, how many have you ever handed out a Bible tract to an individual? And maybe their response was, I'm good. Well, that person isn't in a place where there's going to be spiritual change in their life. He was sent to preach the gospel to the poor, to the meek. In Psalm 25 and verse 9, it says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Psalm 147 verse 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Psalm 149 verse 4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Isaiah 29 verse 19a, the first part of the verse, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. And the verse goes on to say, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Did you come with that poor, humble attitude of need this morning? It is the meek that he will guide in judgment. It is the meek that he will teach his way. Now, if you want to leave this building with any spiritual change this morning, you need to recognize your spiritual need. You know, the people that Christ was preaching to here in Nazareth, they probably didn't see much need in their lives. You know, they may have been in that synagogue just out of habit, just out of this is religion, this is the thing that they did. And yet, that day, the greatest preacher to ever live visited their congregation. And they left spiritually as dead as when they came. I wonder this morning, is there that meekness in your life? Is there that sense of poorness? Of how spiritually needy your life is? Spiritual change does not normally just happen. It takes place in a heart of desperation. Notice what it says next. He says, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me then to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. One whose hopes have been shattered. Have you ever felt brokenhearted before? Your hope shattered. Not knowing where to turn. Your heart's a mess. It's crushed. In Psalm 50, if we could take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm 51. Verses 16 and 17. Here in Psalm 51, we have David's psalm after he had sinned, after he had been confronted by Nathan the prophet, when Nathan the prophet came into him after he had gone into Bathsheba, after he had sinned. And the psalmist says in verse number. Let's begin in verse number 16. It says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite or a crushed heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Here, David, in response to his sin, you know, it may have been easy just to come and offer a sacrifice and, oh, this is all taken care of. But what did God want? He wanted a broken and a contrite heart. You know, religion today says, come once a week on Sunday, say your prayers, you know, take the Mass, go through your religious ordeal. But what does God want? He says a broken and a contrite heart. You know, you could come right to this place this morning and just go through a religious exercise and leave unchanged. But what will bring about true change is when the Word of God is received with a broken and a contrite heart. Is there that broken heart this morning? Realizing that you are in a hopeless, desperate condition spiritually. We think of America in the day of Jonathan Edwards as the spiritual life of the country was sliding downward. And what happened that changed the hearts of individuals? Jonathan Edwards preached the message, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And why was it so effective? Well, obviously the Spirit of God was working, but people what? People saw their desperate condition before God. This morning, if you want to leave changed, you need to see your desperate condition before God. There needs to be a broken heart over your sin. You know, if you come in just thinking everything's fine, no need, I'll be okay, you'll leave basically the same way or worse than you came in. We live in a day of religious conformity. Okay, I'll do that. And what? You want me to do that too? But not a broken heart. You know, the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus, when he saw his condition before the Lord, that he was persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ, his Messiah. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Paul had to come to the place of brokenness. Did you come this morning desperate, with a life maybe that seemed unraveled, falling apart at the seams, the hopes of your life shattered? Christ is there to bind you up, to put you back together. Or did you come this morning, "I don't need anything else, I'm fine. You know, I hope I don't have to commit myself to anything else today." You know, you can leave in the same fixed condition, so to speak, that you came in. You know, there was a young man, somebody was just telling me about this week. And he was with his friend, and you know, his friend would be going to these coughing spurts, and he told him, "You know, boy, you need to go to the doctor. You know, you need to get yourself checked out." He's like, "No, it's just this, you know, thing that he was taking, I think, is just doing it." And he wouldn't go to the doctor. And eventually, things were getting worse. He was getting weaker, and he went. And unfortunately, they found that he had cancer. Now, thankfully, I believe the Lord healed this young man. But what happened? He had to get to the place where he really started seeing his condition before he went. And then what? Change was able to take place. The Bible says in Psalm 34, in verse number 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 147, verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You want real spiritual change to take place in your life this morning? Do you want to leave a different person than you came? There needs to be brokenness in your heart. There needs to be a recognition of your need this morning. Then we find, as we continue on in the passage, Luke chapter 4. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and then to preach or to herald, to proclaim deliverance to the captives. Real spiritual change takes place as one recognizes the bondage that they are in. We find there is spiritual bondage. There is spiritual blindness here. He has said to preach deliverance to the captives. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, we are commanded as believers to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to herald, to proclaim the gospel to every creature. Here is the word keruso, to make an official announcement, to herald something. You know, maybe in the olden days they had the town crier that would come out and herald a message. As believers, we are commanded to herald the message, the gospel, to every creature. We are to proclaim it. You know, that town crier wouldn't go around just kind of whispering the message. You know, you don't want to just, well, I don't want to offend that person. No, this is what? This is good news that we are to proclaim. And here we find to preach deliverance to the captives. You know, there is spiritual bondage that people are in. But you know what? The message of deliverance is not that great of a message to somebody who sees himself as already in freedom. But to that person that recognizes their bondage, the message of deliverance is a wonderful message to hear. It talks about blindness here and recovery of sight to the blind. Then it says to set at liberty them that are bruised. In Psalm 119, verse 18, the psalmist cried to the Lord, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You know, did you come this morning? Obviously, if you're unsaved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in spiritual bondage this morning. You have spiritual blindness and you're in spiritual bondage. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can set you free. And you need to recognize that spiritual bondage that you're in. And Christ is proclaiming liberty. But it is only through His shed blood on the cross that can provide you freedom from your sin. Because there at the cross that He conquered sin, He conquered death, He conquered the devil. And so this morning, you need to recognize your spiritual bondage and the spiritual blindness that you are in. Otherwise, you could leave the same as you came. But even believers, here the psalmist said, "Lord, open mine eyes." Do we recognize how we need God to open our eyes to the truth that is in the Scripture? So we see some elements here, some conditions of spiritual change. But then secondly, I'd like to see some enemies of spiritual change. Notice what took place in the lives of these individuals that hindered this spiritual change from taking place in their lives. These were obviously a needy people, but yet this spiritual change did not take place. In verse 22, it says, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" So here he was in Nazareth. Here was the place that Jesus grew up in. Here was the place that they were familiar with him. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Verse 23, "And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Prove yourself. Prove who you are." There was a lack of faith in their lives. Verse 24, "And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." I'd like to look at the next couple verses reading, but I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Here we have the illustration in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, of Elijah, and it's translated into the New Testament as Elias. And during that time of drought, Elijah was sent to one widow. And that one widow was in the country of Sidon. It was outside of Israel. And then he goes to the next illustration. "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus," or Elisha, "the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." So we know the story of Naaman, who is a leper. And there was a little girl, a maid, in the household there, who said, "Boy, if the prophet of God were here," I can't remember the exact words, "but he would be able to heal him." And so Naaman went to Israel to find this prophet. And he came to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel didn't know what was going on here. And Elisha had to come. Even the king of Israel didn't understand the prophet here of God. And in each one of these illustrations, what do we see? We see God working outside of Israel. We see a prophet no prophet is accepted in his own country. Elijah, the great prophets Elijah and Elisha, their powerful ministry had become what? Had become commonplace in the lives of the Jewish people. And here we have the greatest prophet. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Son of God himself, who grew up in Nazareth. And now he's coming back to the synagogue. And his life was what? Had become commonplace to the people there. And they lost out on the great spiritual benefit, because spiritual things had become commonplace in their lives. You know, we have a great danger in our own lives of spiritual things becoming commonplace and losing their awe, losing that great wonder. There's this song, The Suffering Savior. It says, "Oh, draw near in awe and wonder. Contemplate him hanging there. On his great atonement ponder. Can it be you do not care? Lifted high twixt earth and heaven, blessed Lamb for sinners slain. He is dying, spurned, rejected, crowned with thorns and racked with pain." Contemplate him hanging there. Oh, draw near in awe and wonder. I wonder this morning, Has one of the enemies of spiritual change entered into your life in that spiritual things have lost their awe, have lost their wonder? And you're just like those people of Nazareth when Christ came and read the scriptures and spoke to them. Is not this Joseph's son? And did not recognize the great spiritual treasure that they had in their midst. We have to be so careful that spiritual things do not become commonplace in our lives. In Old Testament Israel, Elijah the prophet was sent to a widow to receive nourishment. It was outside of what? It was outside of Israel. Elisha the prophet, a leper came to him to be cleansed and was what? And was cleansed. But he was a leper that was outside of Israel. And how many lepers were inside Israel? But were not cleansed. Because they didn't have faith to recognize what God could do. Because spiritual things had become commonplace to them. So we find here a lack of faith because spiritual things, because spiritual leaders became commonplace. I wonder what in your life have you lost in awe of this morning? You know, pastor's been preaching messages on the holiness of God. Did you come this morning with great awe of God's holiness? Did you enter into singing this morning recognizing the greatness of our God? To give unto the Lord glory and strength? To worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness? Or did you come here just as another thing you do on a Sunday morning? Come to church. And then what will happen? You'll leave the same as when you came. Because spiritual things have become commonplace in your life. But not only is a lack of faith because spiritual things becoming commonplace an enemy to spiritual change, but we also see that a lack of a proper response to correction is an enemy of spiritual change. Notice what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ confronted them with the attitude that they had, the wrong attitude that they had towards who He was. Verse number 28. It says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust Him out of the city and led Him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast Him down headlong." You know, the people recognized that this message was pointed at them. And they were what? They were filled with anger. They didn't like it. And you know what the enemy to spiritual change is? A not responding to correction. Not responding to conviction. But casting it off, responding in anger instead of responding in humility. You know, you can hear a message and you can walk out. Many times either you can walk out mad or you can walk out glad. And you know what? If you don't respond to the preaching of God's word in the wrong way, you will leave. Not just spiritually unchanged. Many times you'll leave spiritually hardened to the truth and it will be even harder for you to change. Right. How do you respond to the convicting work of the Spirit of God in your life? Young person, how do you respond when you're corrected? Whether it's by one of your parents, whether it's by, you know, an older brother or sister, whether it's by one of your teachers. How do you respond to correction? Here was the perfect Son of God giving them correction. And yet they couldn't take it. And they responded in anger. You know, we are filled with a whole society of people that don't want to be corrected. That's why we have the mega church movement. It's because people don't want to be corrected. They want to live their lives the way they want to live them. They want to feel good. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 that they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The people have itching ears. They want their ears to be tickled. They don't want to feel uncomfortable. They want to feel comfortable in the way that they are living their lives. And the enemy of spiritual change is a lack of a proper response to correction. Instead of heeding the warning, instead of saying, you know what, that's us. We're the ones that are not allowing the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is to affect and to change our lives. They said, we got to get rid of this guy. And they took him outside the city to cast him down headlong. But the Lord Jesus Christ was the powerful Son of God. But He, passing through the midst of them, went His way. Now I wonder this morning, how do you respond? Back in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. Next, I'll begin in verse number 23. Jeremiah 7 and verse number 23. It says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsel and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore shalt thou speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Do you want to continue in your backslidden condition? Do you want to continue, if you're unsaved this morning, in your unsaved condition? Or are you going to respond to the convicting work of the Spirit of God in your heart? Young person, are you going to respond to that correction that is given you? Or are you going to sit in the same spiritual condition that you are? And what happened? They hardened their neck and become resistant to what is being given you. You know, we have these super bugs today. You know, becoming resistant to these antibiotics, and they got to get stronger and new ones to try to fend off these things that are going around. And sometimes that's how we are spiritually. We just hardened ourselves, and now it takes this huge thing to get us to move. You know, an enemy of spiritual change is not receiving correction. Proverbs 9:8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. I wonder this morning, is there a spiritual movement in your life? Did you come this morning with an attitude of, Lord, I need Thee every hour? Did you come with a sense of recognizing your spiritual need? Did you come brokenhearted? Did you come saying, Lord, open mine eyes? Lord, set me free from my bondage. There's conditions that need to be met in our hearts. If we're going to see that spiritual change takes place that needs to in our hearts. You know, or is there that lack of faith because spiritual things have become commonplace in our lives? You know, and we can open up that hymnal and we can sing of the cross, but it doesn't affect us. We can listen to the Word of God, but it doesn't affect us because spiritual things have become commonplace. And we need a spiritual awakening in our hearts. We need to draw near in awe and wonder and contemplate and think about what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross for us. And when convicted and when corrected, we need to surrender to what God is seeking to do in our lives. Is there a heart this morning that is only outwardly conforming to spiritual rituals? Or is there a heart that has been transformed by Jesus Christ? Let's bow in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness to us. Lord, may You help us not to be like the people of Nazareth, who when the Lord Jesus Christ came and read the Scripture and spoke to them, Lord, they did not see Him as the Lord Jesus Christ, but just saw Him as someone who had grew up in their midst. And the great awe and wonder of the Son of God was missing in their lives. Lord, may You stir our hearts this morning, that our hearts would be in such a condition that You could truly work in them. Lord, that we would not leave in the same spiritual condition that we came in. But Lord, that we would leave having drawn close to You. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, you know, the first need in your life is to recognize yourself as a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ said that He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And this morning you may be sick in your sin. And you need to see your sinful condition, your hopelessness. The way you're living your life isn't working. And the only one that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the first spiritual change that needs to take place in your life, is to see your sinful condition and to turn to Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross is the only payment for your sin. And as with an uplifted hand today, you'd say, you know, Pastor John, I humbly admit that that's my need this morning. My need is the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life and to save me. Is there anyone like that today that would just humbly lift their hand and recognize that that's the need that they have today? I wonder this morning, is there a believer today and you didn't come in poor and needy? You didn't come to this place with a broken heart, but you just kind of came in with a commonplace attitude. And the Lord has worked in your heart this morning that you see if spiritual change is really going to take place in your heart, this morning. There's some humbling. There's a recognition. Maybe it's a receiving of correction that needs to take place in your heart this morning. You say, you know, God has spoken to my heart about the condition of my heart this morning. Is there anyone like that today? God's worked in your heart. All right, is there anyone else, Lord, speaking to your heart this morning? Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would be working in our midst. Lord, may we approach the opportunity to hear your word. May we approach the opportunity to contemplate what Christ has done for us. Not as just something trivial, but Lord, something important, something special. And Lord, may our hearts be in a place that you could truly change them and conform them to the image of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.